on a great tribulation. That word, tribulation. Oh, it's such a popular word. The tribulation. Tribulation is an archaic word in English. It's not really something we use. So we use it for a special thing. For the great time of trouble that precedes the end of this age when Christ will come and set up his throne. So that is the tribulation. Now, whether or not this is the tribulation is a question that we could consider. As it is said by some, are these the tribulation saints? And I never much like that term because tribulation saints implies that there's some distinction between non-tribulation saints, like, you know, normal, everyday, wealthy, fat Christians who have never suffered a day in their life and have mostly lived in sin and kind of thumbed their nose at the sacrifice of Christ, but who get raptured out and obviously are just too precious for suffering of any harm or bodily danger. Those are the normal kind of saints, of course, and that's the good kind. Then there's a second-class citizen kind of saint, the tribulation saints. These are the ones whom God sees as worthy of suffering. Because they, before the rapture, they didn't believe in God, but then afterwards they did. But, they have to kind of suffer so that they can, be worthy. Or, I don't know exactly how they put it, but they talk about this sort of separation, or these people who become saints after the rapture. Of course, there is no rapture. But we haven't encountered one yet in the book of Revelation, have we? There isn't any. There isn't going to be any rapture. No rapture. There will be a resurrection at the end of everything, in which the dead will come out of their graves, some to the judgment of life, some to the judgment of damnation. But there is no rapture. There's no mass disappearance. That's never going to happen. So, these are people who have either suffered and died in the normal course of life, because there's plenty of tribulation out there in the world for people and for believers, for the faith. Christians suffer in many countries, where their religion is not tolerated. There are some Muslim countries where you can still be executed for apostasy. I mean, if you go to that country as a Christian, they're not going to execute you, but if you were a believer in their religion and then you convert, you could conceivably find yourself afoul of the law. Throughout history, there have been many people who've suffered for the faith, martyrs for what they believed in. I do think that in the end times, there will be a great number of people suffer and die. I think this number, this multitude, it encompasses all of them. They've not come out of the great tribulation. They've come out of all the tribulation, all the trouble that has been from the foundation of the world till the last day when the trumpet sounds and the resurrection and they all come forth. And they are seen in vision. Like I said, this is not, John is not saying, hey, this is what heaven is like. There's a bunch of people walking around here, and it's pretty cool. We have a lot of buffets. There's daily buffets. The pastries are just delightful. And the heavenly banqueting rooms where you can eat as much as you like and never get fat. No. No such thing. This is a vision of the end. In fact, if you look at the last couple verses, they serve him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. There's a future-looking thing. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them to living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's the kind of stuff you read about in the final chapter, where God will wipe away all tears from all eyes. There's going to be the river of water of life flowing out from the throne, and all that is something you see in the new heaven and earth in chapters 21 and 22. Chapter 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So this is forward-looking to the time when the resurrection shall have happened. Because there's going to be this great time of trouble, and there will be suffering for believers, no doubt. Deprivations. And there will be hardships. And we ought to be prepared for it. We ought to have everything we need. I don't know if you ever listened to my Matthew teaching, but when I did the parable of the 10 virgins, I mean, listen to that. You need to have something more than just the stuff they're handing you. I'm telling you, the devil's ministers are not here to prepare you. They're here so that you would be caught unaware. That's why they teach you to believe in raptures, so that when the time comes, you won't be ready. That's why you have other guys out there who, they want you to look at the New World Order and be distracted by that, so you won't be ready. They're telling you to put your trust in silver and in gold and in supplies of food. Well, I'll tell you what, food is devoured by rodents, and gold, when there's nothing to eat or drink, it's worthless. There's nothing. The seal of God is without price. Do you have the seal of God? Then you're truly ready, because God will prepare you. He will seal you. He will fill you. You know how the seals, they were full of information. There was all this stuff underneath. You know, because what? No one takes, for instance, a blank sheet of paper and seals it. What's the point? What's the point? Just a stamp? This is my paper. When does something get sealed? When it's full? When it is complete. When you finish the document and the signatures are put on the dotted line and all the clauses have been gone over, and then it's folded up and sealed. So also the servants of God are. They've got to be filled with the information. They've got to be filled with the right things. Not just information. I don't want you to think it's about just that kind of knowledge. The knowledge is important. Add your faith knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. But there's all kinds of knowledge. The knowledge that leads us to living the kind of life that is worthy of the salvation to which we have laid claim. We've laid claim to a great salvation. If that's true about us, we have a promise from God that we will not only be raised up on the last day, but as Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he does not mean that merely physically, he means that spiritually, that you who are dead in trespasses and sins hath he quickened, made alive. The death that is in life is countered by the power of God in us, acting in us, changing us, making us into different people. So that when we become citizens of that kingdom that we all long for, we won't be like strangers. You know, you won't be like suddenly there and like, I feel like I don't belong. Just have this sudden jarring shift. You know, your whole life having pursued covetousness and hedonism, why would suddenly walking into the kingdom of God, I followed after covetousness and lust my entire life, but now I'm feeling pretty godly. I'm just going to stay. Now that I'm here, I see, wow, it's such benefit. I really love that.